MoneyWeb now on the money.
Our next guest this morning is Peter Armitage. He's the CEO of Anchor Capital. And as I mentioned earlier this morning, we're going to be theming the podcast today, unpacking alternatives and talking a little bit more around the rise of alternative assets. Peter, thank you. I appreciate the early morning. Maybe to begin, if you are anywhere around South Africa at the moment, you'll see billboards and you'll have read a lot around alternative assets. There's a lot of talk, but I'm not entirely sure everybody who's listening to the podcast this morning knows exactly what they are. Maybe let's begin at the beginning. What exactly, Peter, is an alternative investment and how do they differ from the traditional markets?
Do you know the way that we typically view alternative assets is anything kind of different to the vanilla equities and bonds that most people are invested in? So equities and bonds can change price on a daily basis. Markets can go up 10 or 20%. Alternative assets tend to be characteristics like a little bit of longer duration. They don't price every day. So it can be a hedge fund. It can be a property. And for instance, you can have a company that sits as a listed business that's considered traditional. If they delisted and sat in a private equity fund, that would be considered alternative. So it's usually... there's lots of different ways to think about it. It's usually creating more stable investments. It's usually creating investments that you locked in for a little bit longer because they can do something. You know, the normal assets, you would have to go and put a buy and a sell on the board to get out of your asset. An alternative asset often has a time period where, you know, a property deal or a private debt fund where, there's a time period where they'd give you your money back. And we've been focusing on it because, you know, it provides very nice return profiles.
I was about to go to that question, Peter, which is obviously there's pros and cons, but why do you think they've grown so much in popularity recently?
I think a lot of it is because interest rates are higher, so you can create products and investments which earn a really nice return. And I think investors, by and large, over the course of the last 5 years have been exhausted by equity markets. So you've got a pretty poor return in global markets over 5 years with enormous volatility. And if we can create a fund or an investment which gives you, you know, in South Africa, a stable 1% per month, or offshore, it's stable 0.8% per month, kind of compounding at a nice steady pace, that's very attractive to investors. And that's the sweet spot in the alternative investment space.
They're obviously not that popular, not that large when you compare them, Peter, to the traditional markets. Talk to me a little bit around perhaps why that is the case. You know, what are the risks and the potential downsides when looking at alternative assets?
Well, I think firstly, lack of knowledge. So I think people are comfortable with equities. Ironically, you know, equities are a lot more risky. It's very easy for an equity fund to go, down 10 or 20% before having a kick up. Secondly, often you do have to lock your money in for a bit of a time period. So, you know, our kind of favorite alternative space is private debt. So it's private companies doing stuff in the space of banks, where banks don't want to participate because they're shorter-term loans or, you know, banks with various balance sheet restrictions. But you can picture a private debt fund has to lend money out for a time period. So they can't let you put your money in and take it out 2 weeks later. So, the Westbrook Fund, sits with 6 months liquidity. So people just, as a starting point, they prefer liquidity. But then, lastly, it's just, so we've created some funds which give people access to things which otherwise that'd be, the ticket price is too big. So a private equity fund where, you want $1 million from an investor, in our fund, we've got a number of those investments. You can have exposure to a number of them. So it's, and unless somebody's created a nice, easy vehicle for you to invest in, it's not something that the man in the street has exposure to. But certainly in SA, we're following what happens around the world. And there's various funds coming up which give people the ability to invest in alternative assets.
I was actually going to ask you the question, how does one overcome this issue with a lack of knowledge and understanding of the asset class? But certainly accessing through a fund makes a lot of sense. You spoke about the global players, Peter. Talk us through a little bit around who the major players are in the ecosystem and the types of asset managers that an Anchor Capital is looking at allocating capital to.
Yeah, so there's... the alternative space tends to be kind of niche players. There are the big players, the Blackstones, the Black Rocks overseas. The big ones tend to be quite property focused. because that's where the biggest and most kind of secure asset class is. What we do at Anchor Capital is we tend to try and invest with people that we know. I think in the alternative asset class, you've got to be very confident in the competence and depth of the investment committees and management teams of businesses that you invest with. So we've got a fair bit of money with Westbrook, who are specialists in the property space, as you will know. Well, in the private lending space, which tends to be kind of property based, and got some private equity funds. And then there's typically some big deals that float around South Africa. We've invested in a US fiber deal with the guys who started Vumatel. We've invested in UK data centers, where guys put together funds around specific assets, which, you know, we like the guys who put it together. There's a company called Argo in the UK who specialize in property investments. So if we find a nice deal, we'll invest there. And what we try and do is create a diversified portfolio of assets, which have got a profile of, you know, kind of aiming for that 10 to 15% in SA, 9 to 12% offshore. And if markets crash, you shouldn't see the price go down. And I think that's really the comfort. A lot of the time, the return is earned from a coupon. So every month or 3 months, you're getting interest on your investment. You're not relying on somebody else deciding that the asset is worth more.
Absolutely. That's Peter Armitage. Thank you very much, Peter, for your early morning talking to us a little bit more around the rise and unpacking exactly what is an alternative asset.